with you. You can hear Joe as a part of the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, debuting this Friday night at 6. Elijah Campbell also will be back in the fold for that. But we're at Titans training camp today watching, I believe this is the two-minute drill, Joe, for the Bucs on offense right now. Blaine Gabbert under center at quarterback.
Bucs moving the ball down the field pretty well. Did Julio catch that ball? Okay, Julio with a nice catch. His first catch on the practice field for the Titans.
Jalen Darden, who's a receiver for Tampa Bay, is out there wearing number one. I mean, I think he's shorter than Justin Beasley. He's a little guy.
I'm still using the joke yesterday that your friend Ryan tweeted in about Julio making his first catch in Tennessee on the Titans practice field.
I talked to him this morning and said that we used that, and he appreciated it.
Yeah, the joke was Julio Jones was his first time practicing.
Yeah, in over a year.
Over a year. He's actually going to do it on the Titans practice field today. So well done, Julio.
Well, he has a catch. So, again, two-minute drill is probably my favorite, as former Titan Ryan Suckup will come on to attempt a field goal.
What if he just kind of misses it and hits Vrabel in the back of the head?
I hate that they moved on from him because
I don't think, is that him, number three?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's him. Because he was solid for the Titans for many, many years.
Oh, he made that field goal in 2016 against his old team Kansas City in that game over there
where he did.
30 degrees.
He did. Well, he missed this one. So
did he?
Yeah. Went to the left.
Oh man.
Pulled it.
Should have tried to hit Vrabel with that. I was at here one time years ago to practice. Dave Ragone was the wide receiver coach. Former Louisville quarterback. You remember him, Junie? Dave Ragone?
I do not.
Okay. I'm an old man, so that's probably why. So he was left-handed, and it was just – so he threw one, and I think it was Mark Mariani, missed it, and it hit me in the back of the thigh. I started crying. I mean, I was in that much pain. He threw the ball like Roger Clemens. And I was like, Mark, why didn't you – he said, man, I'm so sorry. And a huge welt in the back of my leg came up. Dr. Elrod came over and said, are you okay? I said, not now. I'm not. I'm not doing well. So you got to keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah.
By the way, number 70 for the Titans, he's got that – it's like Grizzly Adams. Jordan Roos, it's like Grizzly Adams out here.
He does. There was a time that I was on the sideline before a game, and McNair's warming up with Drew Bennett, and he overthrew Bennett. But, I mean, it was a dart.
Right.
And instinct kicked in, and I went to catch it, and I did, and I regret it. I was like – I asked Derek one time, I'm like, how did your hand – like – how do you have feeling in your hands?
Yeah.
After catching a football from
no
McNair.
Doubt.
And I mean, he's like, you just get used to it.
When you think about like an Elway dart, I mean, some of those passes that they just wind up and just let it fly. Malik Willison at quarterback right now.
Holds on to the ball way too long.
Way
you're
too
right.
long. Throws off his back foot. That was a very bad pass. Not impressed by what I'm seeing from him today at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's very much a rookie.
He is.
And that's okay. Third round pick. You're not expecting him to be Elway.
Right.
When he gets out there.
Now, if Tannehill would have been throwing like that, it would have been like, oh, my God. Tannehill has looked really, really good today.
He has. He's looked
really
solid.
Good.
What I love about this drill right now is if you look in the backfield, there is a guy wearing a white sweater vest, basically. It's Mike Vrabel. He stands there and watches the play as it moves down the field.
What would you want him to do in the locker room?
No, I mean, I'm just,
Too long.
Coaches Willis. Are on the sideline.
Too long. I mean, he held that ball forever. You could have sacked him, Chase.
Chick Okonkwo is who he was trying to go to. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, look, that's been one of my concerns with Tannehill is that he'll hold on to the ball too long sometimes. Now,
today.
You know, he has. Now, you obviously love the protection if they're getting the right protection and have that time. But, you know, you got to have that clock in your head. Get rid of it.
Yeah, so he's going against the twos or the threes of the Buccaneers right now as well. I mean, you know, guys just said it. Racy McMath looked really good earlier. Robert Woods looked good earlier. Calfit, too long. And the guy drops the ball.
Well, and I think he might have been over the line when he,
this is not
when he threw
good,
it.
This is not a good series for Mr. Willis. But, again, he's last
this
year.
This is what you got to do.
Last year he's at Liberty, right?
Right.
And so now he's up here. It's a huge difference. You talk about, you know, when Joe Montana talks about going those first training camp he had, he's like, I can't believe they drafted me. He goes, I don't know what I'm doing out here. And just it takes time to work with them. But you know early on that whether these guys, you know, they've got something good. You know, Aikman's first year with the Cowboys, they were terrible.
Oh, it was awful.
They had Steve Walsh breathing down his neck because they drafted him in the supplemental draft.
Yep.
And then Aikman was able to get a few playmakers in there, separate himself, and becomes a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I like the program that Willis was in. I think Hugh Freeze, say what you want about, you know, some of his things and how he left Ole Miss. I mean, he's obviously done a nice job there at Liberty. But it's a different offense. It's a college-based offense.
Yeah.
And so he's got to have that learning curve and get used to how things are run in the NFL and the speed. I think right now what I'm seeing out of him is everything is very slow.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah. And this is you would think he'd be a lot better in a two-minute drill because it is hurry up. You are moving down the field. You are making things happen. You are getting it down. But, again, you're going against the number two Tampa Bay defense. This is not the scout team for the Liberty Flames that you're facing. And that's no problem with Willis because of where he came from last year. But the simple fact is you got to stay in that pocket and deliver. And so far, Tannehill's looked really good today.
Okay, so we just have a trivia question coming in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com from Paul. The 85 Chicago Bears beat the L.A. Rams in the NFC Championship game. Can you name the Rams quarterback in that game?
Was it Dieter Brock?
I have no idea.
I think it was Dieter Brock.
He says Dieter Brock. Paul's going to tell us if that is correct or not.
I don't know a lot, Paul, but I know my 70s, 80s, and 90s. Most of it, I think I do. But I think it was Dieter Brock. Eric Dickerson was on that team, too.
The Bears won 24-0.
I think Wilbur Marshall had a touchdown return in that game.
Dieter Brock. That is correct.
Yep. Dieter Brock might have been from some connection to Birmingham, Alabama back in the day.
10 for 31 for 66 yards and an interception.
That's what Malik Willis did out here today. That's not bad. Yeah, but again, you're playing Chicago in January, and it's 18 degrees, and you got the Bears defense coming at you. I mean, it's just relentless.
Kyle Trask in at quarterback for Tampa Bay.
Ooh,
now.
Looking good.
Which presumably could be their quarterback of the future.
Could be.
I think he has some growing to do.
You know what's really crazy is you look down, the Titans staff gave us the roster of both teams out today. Of course, Brady's still on the roster because he's still part of the team. But you go down the experience part there, and you see like 2, 4, 6, 7, and then you see 23.
I know.
I mean, Tom Brady, 23 years in the National
Football League. Well, Gabbert's been in the league for 12. That's what's crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's – but, yeah, 23 years in the National Football League. What's the record?
Is it George Blanda?
I was about to say, it was probably George Blanda.
Former Oiler. Raiders and Oiler.
Oiler, Raider. Yeah. Was a kicker and a quarterback.
Went to University. There's a picture of – oh, that's great. There's a picture of Blanda at 44 and Tom Brady at 44. And it just the difference.
Does Blanda look like 85?
He looks 85, yeah. And Brady looks 32. I mean, it's a huge difference in all that. But that's his way, yeah, you know, nutrition.
Blanda, 26 seasons.
26 seasons. I mean, you think about the nutrition tip drill there. Nice catch for the Buccaneers. The nutrition, how it's changed and how these guys work ethic. We were laughing yesterday about Stabler. You think Ken Stabler went through an off-season workout program? You think he had to make his 6-minute mile run when he got to camp? No, they just had to go and play football. So the training and the difference now is just night and day. But again, I harken back to it. People hear me say this. Comes down to two things, Chaser: blocking and tackling.
That's it. George Blanda played college where?
Kentucky.
For who?
Bear Bryant.
Yep.
That's right.
Sure did.
Bear left there, went to A&M, then to Alabama.
He was drafted in the 12th round of the 1949 NFL draft by the Chicago Bears.
I think they had 30 rounds.
Probably,
back
yeah.
then. It was crazy.
Yeah. But played again, from 49 to 75.
49 to 75.
That's
played
unreal.
From Harry Truman until Gerald Ford.
He did.
Good Lord. Brady's played from George Bush now to Joe Biden. I mean, he's been through – that's another one. I mean, presidents-wise, he's got Bush – No,
Clinton.
Clinton, my goodness. Yeah. Clinton, then Bush, then Obama, then Trump, and then now by five presidents.
Yeah.
So you look at, this is fun game, Blanda.
Yeah.
With Harry Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, LBJ, Richard Nixon, and six presidents.
That's awesome.
Way to go, Blanda. Put another one on your tribute. You played for six different presidents. Oh, my goodness.
Unreal. But, yeah, But the thing that helped him and I think makes Brady look that much more impressive is Brady's played quarterback his entire career. Blanda was a quarterback slash place kicker and later in his career just a kicker.
Look at what Bruce Matthews played, 18 from 83 to 01. So that'd be 19 seasons on the offensive line. Bruce Matthews, if that's correct.
83-01, yeah.
So 19 seasons.
Yep. Yep.
That's a line.
And played guard, center, tackle, whatever, long snapper.
Whatever it took. Yeah, Jackie Slater was the same way for the offensive line for the Rams. Played so long in the league, you know. It's just you find these guys that they don't get injured and have that warrior mentality and can stick around for
19 seasons for Jack, big bad Jackie.
I didn't know that his son is the special team star for the Patriots. He's been to like 9 Pro Bowls and Belichick Slater kid for New England.
Huh. So, I didn't know that either.
But you look at, I mean, just look at longevity. And so right now the longest Titans non-kicker on the team, is it LaJuan entering his 9th year? Well, we got the list in front of us.
Probably so. Well, yeah. I mean, if only we had a way to see that.
I think it is.
Or Kern. Brett Kern, probably.
I'm going to count that.
Punters count.
Ben Jones, 11 years now in the league.
Yeah, but not with the Titans. All with the Titans.
Start the first 4 with Houston.
Kern's the longest tenured, and then probably LaJuan.
Yes. 9 years.
Byard's been here 7. So he's up
so
there.
So is Derrick Henry.
Henry, yeah.
And all that. So, yeah, it's funny how the roster just turns over. You know, even go back out here 10 years ago. I mean, so Kern was the only guy that had been left over from the roster. The overturning of a roster every year is just something. It's fascinating to watch almost all the different players that go, that come back and they leave, and then, you know, they get their time around the league and they come back and do something. And it's just, it's a big circus, man.
We're going to have Elijah Molden come over when practice is done. But in about 15 minutes, Jason McCourty, a guy that played with Brett Kern here with the Tennessee Titans, now with the NFL Network, he's going to join us. We'll have much more coming from Titans training camp. Chase William D. Mace chasing Big Joe today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're live at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park for Titans training camp today. Elijah Molden going to join us when practice is done. We'll talk to Jason McCourty at 11:30 as well. So going to get fast and furious here in the next few minutes. And we'll also talk some high school football a little later on in the show with Jamal Stewart from East Nashville. That'll be at 1:30 today. Before that, Chad Brown, who's with 104.3 The Fan in Denver, also Compass Media. Former Steelers and Patriots linebacker. We'll talk to him about the NFL as well. So fast and furious today, Joe, as things winding down here at Titans practice, has seen both teams go through the two-minute drill.
It's been, for an hour and a half, they've been going nonstop out here. I mean, it's up and down the field, two-minute drill, seven-on-sevens, one-on-ones, and thing going down. My takeaway from the day so far, Tannehill's look great. I mean, I obviously haven't seen every placement out there, but see him drive the field, team up and down the field. He looks really good. Willis looks like a rookie. Some really bad throws, but, I mean, what's what you expect from a guy that's your third-team quarterback and just first time really seeing a defense. I know we saw the Ravens of the night, but in this kind of setting is really something different for him. So,
a coach is never going to, you know, admit this, but, like, if I'm Vrabel – I want to basically have a notepad full of mistakes that Malik Willis made because those are coaching moments.
And just throw them at him when he's coming off the field.
No, but I mean, like, it gives you things to work on. Like, you don't need him to be perfect right now. You need him to learn. That's what you need. So
you're right. As long as your number one quarterback isn't playing like your number three quarterback, you're good to go. And so, again, Tannehill just delivering some serious darts. Receivers looking good. Racy McMath, I mean, my goodness. Just blowing by guys, taking it off the top and going. He's looking really good. So that's been something else to see today out here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Titans coming up with a big play.
This is a tip drill that was caught by Des Fitzpatrick.
Des Fitzpatrick has had a nice camp.
He has.
Woodside in at quarterback. So Fitzpatrick making a nice play there. As things winding down here. With the two-minute drill with Titans practice.
And back in here tomorrow to get it done. Same thing.
Yes.
And then Friday off, and then the game on Saturday night.
You and Caroline Fenton will be here tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Because, I'm pulling a Jim Rome and taking another vacation.
Like a Howard Stern. You're off for 4 months in the summer, and we'll see you sometime.
Well, Floyd, I remember the first time that Floyd comes into the office. He goes, hey, I'm going to be off for 3 weeks. And we look at him and go, wait, what? He goes, I'm going to Turks and Caicos.
See ya. It's Floyd, like, okay. Man, you're not going to tell him what to do.
Right. No, exactly. Right. I mean, like, all right, have fun. And then Jared turned around and goes, well, hey, I'm going to take 3 weeks off. And we said, no. No, you're not.
Not at all. Too bad there, buddy. Not the same.
Why does Floyd get to? Well, 40 years in the league. That's why.
Exactly why. To seal that. I haven't really seen much. You know, I'm not really paying much attention to the Buccaneers today, obviously.
I have a little bit. Kyle Trask intrigues me. I don't think he's – I mean, he's looked all right. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback, but, you know, he could be that stopgap in between Brady and – oh, now that was good. Over the Titans defender, and it looks like his receiver did hold on to it and made a catch. But
yeah, it'll be fun to catch up with McCourty at 11:30 just because now he's on the outside looking in and what he thinks about, like, a Tannehill. And, you know, and I hope he doesn't hold back. You know, Joe Montana lasted 1 year.
Yeah.
We talked about this as an analyst because he said that they wanted him to be more, not derogatory, but more critical of players. He's like, you know what? I know what they're going through. I'm not going to do that. So Montana's like, you guys take care. I think he lasted 1 year after he retired. Now he did the 95-96 season and was gone after that. So, I mean, you don't want to blister people, but if they're doing bad, then say it. It's okay.
Right. And I mean, you know, one thing that I've always said and always been taught is don't make it personal. That's really all you have to do is
just
be honest.
Be honest.
But don't make it personal. Like, if they play bad, they play bad.
Looks like that could be it.
Yes.
All come together. They had a little kumbaya before practice started today. And then now they're meeting up here. I think it is. Looks like it should be about time to be done.
Yeah, looks like they are wrapping things up here at Titans training camp for today. And then, like you said, tomorrow they'll do this again with the Bucs. And I'll be interested. We may not be able to bring it to you live, but I will be interested to hear what Mike Vrabel says and his observations after today's practice. Because as we've been saying, I think this is where coaches really learn a lot about their teams when they match up against another team during practice.
How many times are you going to say, hey, I want to watch the tape, let you know? I mean, obviously, but I mean, he's been out of the whole time, you know, standing behind the offensive line. Our offense was going down the field and kind of get his reaction to all that. I mean, he's probably – nobody got injured, at least I can see for the most part. There were no fights, no brawls out here today. So they got to get a little work in. So if you're head coaches, you got to be happy with it. You're Todd Bowles for the Bucs, or you're Mike Vrabel for the Titans. – God bless you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You got to be happy with what happened, and hopefully they'll get injured tomorrow. So
good to see former Titans linebacker Tim Shaw out here as well, as we've seen him a few times.
Yeah.
Of course, battling ALS, but still.
What an inspiration.
Oh, huge inspiration. He played with McCourty.
He did.
He was on those teams.
He did.
Have to bring that up to Jason. So.
Yeah. Again, as they wrap up practice, kind of a final assessment we've been saying throughout the whole show today. I mean, I thought Tannehill, you know, looked good. I'm sure Stillman will have a different take on it. But Tannehill, to me, looked really good today. Delivering the ball. Racy McMath looked good. Kyle Phillips looked good. So I think some of the people who stood out, you know, I didn't even see much of the offensive line play or defensive line play. So I don't know what happened there. But to watch these guys get to work, it was really good.
We'll go ahead and step away for a second. Elijah Molden scheduled to join us, then Jason McCourty. We're going to cram a lot in here in the next few minutes. Going to be a lot of fun, though. But Chase Willie and D-Mace live at Titans training camp. Chase and Big Joe today, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Live at Titans training camp, Chase Willie and D-Mace. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin today. Slight shift in the schedule. Elijah Molden unable to join us now after practice. So we'll talk to Jason McCourty here in a few minutes. Hope to potentially have another Titans player come over to our broadcast location after we talk to J-Mac. But, Joe, I just talked to Jonathan Hutton, who's going to join us at noon today live here, and he agreed with you. Good day for Ryan Tannehill.
Chase, the last time I was wrong was Mondale in 84, okay? he looked good today. I mean, it was fast and furious at him, and he delivered the ball and right on. I mean, there were a few mistakes. Obviously, no quarterback's ever perfect. So I thought he looked good today. I think he's looked good through camp, and, you know, that's not the narrative that some talk show hosts in town want to have. They want to see him fall on his butt, but I think Tannehill did fine today, and I hope he has a great season for the Titans.
I think, you know, to that narrative, I actually think there are more people pulling for Tannehill And, you know, I wasn't a fan of him not really addressing the playoff game after the fact. It took him a while to talk about it. I mean, I get it. I get that he put, you know, he took ownership of it and all of that. But at the same time, like, you gotta face the music. That's a part of the job.
Yeah.
And I think too many times today with certain players, or really, you know, a lot of players in general, that they get shielded too much from that. And, you know, winning's a part of it, and it's nice to win, and you talk after you win, but losing's a part of it too, and you should have to talk after you lose.
I totally agree.
And so.
Well, we got spoiled because of when you come into, like, for you, you're a lot younger than I am. When you came to the world, I mean, you would cover the Predators.
Yep.
After a game, and they all talked.
They did.
They all talked, except Shea Weber. I mean, they all talked after the game.
Well, even Shea would some. He's just, you're not going to get much out of him.
Yeah.
In those moments.
There are a few times when Shea, you'd wait for the cap, because it was kind of a given the cap would come in. I remember one time, I was like, where's Shea Weber? Well, nobody requested him. I was like, well,
oh, yeah.
It's the captain.
Yeah, he's the captain.
So, like, Arnett, when he was with the Predator, he would stand, come, even when we weren't playing, he'd come down there and talk to the media. And so you kind of get spoiled because you see the Predators' way of doing things. They all talk, and they all, even mm-hmm. after a bad loss, even Austin Watson got mad at me for questions I asked. Still, you want to get the question out there. But I agree with you. I mean, after the game, face the music.
There was, I will never forget, and I have never forgotten, well, I just said this. I've never forgotten this,
okay.
And I said this to the player at the time. But Nick Bonino, when he was with the Predators, they had lost, I think it was to San Jose, like 5-0. It was a bad game. I mean, just got their butts kicked. And going to the locker room, and I always did a one-on-one, no matter what. Win or lose, I get a player one-on-one. And it was the shortest interview I've ever had. It was like 43 seconds. And I, you know, just – I asked the kind of the obligatory of – okay, what happened? And Bones looked at me, and he was just like, man, we didn't have it tonight, and I don't really know what to tell you.
Hey,
and I
bad.
Said, and I said, you know what? That's it. And he looked at me, he's like, dude, I'm sorry. I go, no, man, that was – look, be
I'm
honest
sorry.
With me. That was fine. That was fine. Let's say hello to Jason McCourty of the NFL Network. Of course, he is a part of the Emmy Award-winning Good Morning Football, which airs Monday to Friday starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, and also former Tennessee Titan. J-Mac, good to talk to you again. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
So you call it a career, and then you start your next career just going straight to the NFL Network. How has the transition from DB to analyst been?
And it's been a lot of fun. Early wake-ups, like you said, the show starts at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern. So waking up extremely early to get there. But, man, I've had a blast just doing the show with Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, and Jamie Erdahl. We have a lot of laughs during the course of those 3 hours, and we get a chance to talk football. So it doesn't get any better than that.
So when you look from afar, you're watching the whole league now, but your former team here in Nashville, we're out at the facility right now. They just wrapped up practice. As you watch Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans, what have been your observations?
Man, I'm excited for them. I caught flack early on. I said I didn't know if they were going to be Super Bowl contenders, and you would have thought I said they were going to be the worst team in the league. But I'm excited what the Titans can be and what they can do this year. I'm a huge fan. I got a chance to play with Kevin Byard, but I think he's probably the best safety in the NFL right now, and he'll be leading up their defense. Jeffrey Simmons, Landry coming off the edge, like, those guys are monsters, and their defense was extremely good last year, and I'm expecting them to return to the same young corners out there. Fulton, who's kind of proven himself, and Fairley will have a chance this year to step up and show up for them as a team. And obviously losing A.J. Brown, there will be a gap to fill on the outside. But the return of the king, Derrick Henry, got a chance to get back in the playoff game last year, but now full off season of working out and doing all the crazy workouts he does and balance work and all of that. I'm excited for what they can do, not only in the division, but seeing if they can prove me wrong and be Super Bowl contenders. But, I mean, I root for the Titans since I left Nashville. I consider myself a Titan. 8 years there, got drafted there, developed there. So I'm fired up to be able to watch them and not have any skin in the game and just be able to root for those guys this year.
We're talking to the pride of the St. Joseph Regional High School in New Jersey. Jason McCourty joins us here today. Jason, now that you're out and looking in, Give us your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill. I'm watching him here practice, though, with his kids after the joint practice with the Buccaneers. What's your assessment of him now that you're out of football and you can kind of evaluate Ryan Tannehill in a different way?
Yeah, I think Tannehill's a solid quarterback. I think even beyond that, he's a guy that when you know he's under center, consistent as far as you know what you're going to get from him. You know he'll be able to run that offense. You know Tannehill will be able to make some plays with his feet. And I think as a head coach, when you go out there, you're confident in his ability to go out there and execute whatever the game plan is. Obviously, I'm not going to put Tannehill in the likes of some of the quarterbacks. You see the Justin Herbert's taking off right now. And then obviously you have the Mahomes and the Aaron Rodgers, the Bradys, the Josh Allens. He hasn't gotten to that point in his career, but I don't think that's a knock on him. He's a guy who played in Miami, got paid in Miami, and whatever happened in Miami ends up going to Tennessee as a backup quarterback. And now Mariota's in Atlanta, and Tannehill's the leader right there in Nashville. So I think Tannehill is a guy who you can definitely win games with. It was yet to be seen whether he's a quarterback that can get you all the way to the promised land and win a Super Bowl. But he's a guy that they were the number one team in the AFC last year. So you can't sit there and say, oh, well, Tannehill's not this, he's not that. This guy can be the quarterback on a really good football team with a chance to compete in the postseason.
Jason, I ask you this question because I covered you when you were here playing for the Titans. You had, in your 8 years here, you had four different head coaches when you were a member of the Tennessee Titans. Now that Mike Vrabel is going to his fifth year, how much is that good for these players to have that stability at the top where, unfortunately, you were not able to have that kind of stability? How good is it for these players to have a coach now entering his fifth season and so well respected?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, like you just said, my 8 years at Tennessee, four different head coaches. I think it was five different defensive coordinators.
Ugh.
With that comes new DB coaches. I had three different general managers. I go to Cleveland the next year, and Cleveland, it was Hugh Jackson was there, and you know the kind of mess that they've been in over the course of since I can remember. And then I go to New England, and in my DB room there, my brother, Devin McCourty, had been there. It was his ninth year. Patrick Chung was in his 10th year. He had been 9 years in New England. Daron Harmon was in his, I think, sixth or seventh year, all in New England. Nate Ebner was there for 7 years, all in New England. And I just point out that one room because you think about the continuity, the brotherhood that is built up over the course of those years where there's a core of guys that have been there that understand the culture. They know what the coach is looking for, and they know what's the expectation every single time you step foot on the field. When you continue to change coach year after year, new signage goes up in the building. One coach puts something up, the next coach comes in, takes it all down. All right. I remember Munchak takes over after Coach Fisher, and Munch puts up this amazing timeline in the hallway in the building. And Munch is there for, I think it was two or three years, and Wazan comes in after that, takes the entire timeline down. I'm just like, well, just because it's a new coach, it doesn't mean the timeline is still the same. The Oilers to the Titans, like these guys that lay bricks in this building. So just dealing with all of that, them now having a guy like Coach Vrabel, that those guys know who he is. He's very blunt, and he wears that on his sleeve, who he is as a person and who he is as a coach. And you can show up every day and know exactly what to expect. And I think it goes a long way, and it's no surprise that he's been there for 5 years and they're having success. So I think it's huge in building culture and knowing how to win and developing that over the course of a few seasons.
Jason McCourty is with us from the NFL Network, of course, former Tennessee Titan as well. You mentioned the Patriots that you won a Super Bowl with, got to play with your brother, but you also played for Bill Belichick. You played with Tom Brady. During that time, you bring up Vrabel. How much of the similarities do you see of that Patriot way from what Vrabel is trying to do here in Nashville?
I think it's consistent. I think consistency is the key. And it seems as though I don't know Vrabel. I haven't had a chance to really be around him, so I don't want to speak as if I'm in the know when it comes to him as a head football coach. But you can see probably there's differences between him and Bill when you hear him just talking at a press conference. But I think the one thing that was in New England is that there was an expectation when you walked in that building, and it wasn't this huge mystery when everybody say, oh, the Patriots way, like you walk in there and they hand you a pamphlet with all the key Patriot way things and things to say and all of that. But I think it was just a quiet understanding of like, hey, when we show up to work, when we show up in this building every day, we're here to work. And I know when I got there, you think one thing and you get there and it's something kind of totally different. It wasn't this militant place where you had to be 5 minutes early to every meeting. Everybody had to wear the same clothes. It was kind of more laid back, but we worked. And I think Vrabel is the same way. I think, I don't know if it has anything to do with that he played for the Patriots. I think it may just have to do more with who he is. He's a guy that I think likes to work, and he's going to challenge his players to do the same. So the one thing you can say, it's paying off in this team. Each year you expect him to be better than the year before.
Well, Jason, it's good to talk to you and catch up. You're always great with your time with us. Best of luck with the new adventure with the NFL Network and Good Morning Football, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That is Jason McCourty, former Titans cornerback, now with the NFL Network and Good Morning Football, joining us. We go from a defensive back to a wide receiver as Racy McMath, Titans wide receiver, has just sat down at our broadcast location as they have wrapped practice up. And I'll say this, Racy, to start things off, you've been very impressive, my friend, through the first few weeks of training camp. How's it been feeling for you?
It's been feeling good. You know, I'm just trying to stack days and, you know, be consistent, come out here and do it daily. As already.
You're out there working with Ryan Tannehill. How has that chemistry developed over the past year and a half as now you're getting some of these big reps?
It's grew. The chemistry we have, the relationship we have is grew. You know, we communicate way more than we did in the previous year, and it's showing out there. You know, we're just trying to get on the same page.
How much is the, you know, it's a deep wide receiver room right now in training camp. How much has that fueled all of you to compete for a handful of spots?
Yeah, that's fueling us. You know, it's real competitive. We know it's at stake, and we just using it to bring out the best out of each other. That's
talk
what we're doing.
To Racy McMath out here. How much did you learn last year to make you a better player today? Because last year you're coming in, you know, you're behind a bunch of guys and everything. It's different from being at LSU. Now you're here. How is Racy McMath different today than you were a year ago?
He's more mature. He learned how to be a pro. He's more of a pro. And, you know, just taking notes from my coach, from even the vets last year we had in the room, AJ and Julio, they gave me nice tips, and I'm just carrying on to this year too.
You look fantastic out today. What your takeaway from the day? You had some really good catches, some nice deep balls. How did you feel like you performed today?
Could have been better.
I love that.
tell me how so.
I had one I didn't come down with.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. That is when you hear a wide receiver say, I didn't catch it, I could have been better, that gets you fired up.
Yeah.
Going up against another defense, though, how is that, you know, in practice? You obviously saw it in the preseason game with Baltimore, but seeing Tampa Bay, knowing how good that defense is in practice, how beneficial is that to you?
They're giving us great work. I appreciate those guys. And, you know, it's just some more guys we got to compete with and just work getting better, you know. They don't really expect. They don't really know what's coming. They don't know what to expect. So, it's just a better look for us to show what we have.
Robert Woods was acquired in the offseason, a veteran in this league. You know, you talked about Julio and AJ last year.
Yep.
What have you learned from Robert?
Yeah, Rob. He just teaches me how to be a pro too. You know, using the hand, route running, plays, and just it really teaches me how to be a pro. I'm air hustling to everything he's telling me, and I'm just taking heed to it.
How much did you know LSU? I mean, you behind and play with some great guys. Our boy Jacoby Stevens is a local guy. You play them at LSU down there. To take what you learned there and take the NFL, I mean, how much fun was that to be part of that whole program at LSU and now transition to the NFL?
Yeah, it was very fun. You know, LSU, you know, they're a top-ranked school, you know, numerous years, damn near every year. And I think it's the competitiveness, you know, like in the receiver room and on the team, that I just carry on through the throughout my pro career.
You still talk to those guys quite a bit?
Yeah, I still talk to them.
Yeah, I mean, they're all great success. I'm sure they're happy for you because you landed in what is a great spot for you in Tennessee. You got to love being here, don't you?
Yeah, I love being here, man. They love me, so I love them back.
I get more questions asked about you, cause LSU, SEC country down here, about how you're doing than just about any other non-Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry kind of player. There's a lot of love for Racy McMath out there. Do you feel it?
Yeah, I feel the love. They want to see great things from me. They push me. And, you know, if I don't do something the correct way, you know, I'm not perfect. They on me because they want the best out of me. They want me to show up and just help this team, really, you know, because they know I had the power to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like playing for Ed Orgeron?
Yeah, it was great. He's a hype guy. He's emotional. You know, I ain't saying that in a bad way, but, you know, you could just feel his energy, you know, throughout the day, whether it's practice or the game, you could just feel his energy, and it rubs off on the guys.
Well, you're obviously focused on things here, and, you know, he was talking about your teammates, but to see Joe, what Joe did last year, you know, to get that team to the Super Bowl, I mean, how, even though obviously you wanted to beat him in the playoff game, but how happy were you for him?
I was very happy for him. I know Joe. I know he's a leader, and he's about winning. And to see the run he had, you know, I had no choice but to be happy for him, really.
If we talk to you 8 weeks from now, the middle of the football season, yeah. What do you want to tell? What would you like to tell us what's going on in the first 8 weeks, the first half of the season?
I don't really know. You know, I'm taking it day by day, really. You know, I can't really look that far.
Are you looking for that opportunity for game one to get in there against the Giants and to show what you've got?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But, you know, really taking it day by day, really, just – one day at a time, trying to stack days.
These practices with the Buccaneers, I mean, you guys had your little warm-ups this morning, then you went right at it immediately. You like that, just jumping into the fray?
Yeah, I do.
Getting quick with that?
You know, it's just the competitive nature. I like the competitiveness, you know. I was jumping. We knew we would go get into it anyway, so why wait, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely.
Why wait?
Titans wide receiver Racy McMath is here with us. Racy, it's good to catch up with you. Best of luck the rest of training camp and getting into the season as well.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
And go Tigers.
Yeah, go Tigers.
Racy McMath, Titans wide receiver, joining us here on Chase Willie and D. Mace. Coming up next, we'll recap some of the things that have happened. May even hear from Mike Vrabel as well. That's next, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin live at Titans training camp. Let's head to the podium, hear from head coach Mike Vrabel.
Well, he's big, he's long, he's fast, he's been a physical player. So, we like the opportunity to try to add him and coach him and see if he can define a role for himself on this football team and find a way to help us.
With a lot of these, you know, starters not in preseason games, you've got Big Jeff out there. He said, I want to come out and set the tone, and it feels like he did that. How beneficial is it just to continue these joint practices?
Well, they're beneficial. If you can, agree to respect, the opponent and take care of each other. You know, nobody's out here trying to take any shots at each other. I get it. It gets competitive, and, you know, there's some barking and there's some motions, and that's all part of this game. So, we'll do these as long as that we can, handle it ourselves and find another team that's willing to do it the same way.
Traylon moves out on some good chances there, and you think he'll be able to take advantage of them tomorrow?
Anybody that, doesn't take the full reps of practice would lose out on opportunities, whether that's any of the other guys that went in. So it's not one specific guy as it relates to, time missed. You know, I mean, every practice rep and everything, that's every situation is critical. Thanks, guys.
Coach Mike Vrabel getting the tail end of that as they wrapped up joint practices today. Good to catch up with Jason McCourty. He was always fun to talk to. You covered him here, Joe.
Yeah.
We had the Jason McCourty show early on in the history of 102.5 The Game, but always good to talk to him. And then Racy McMath, Titans wide receivers. So we've said this over and over again. Jonathan Hutton going to join us at noon. We'll get his perspective of practice today. Ryan Tannehill had a really good day.
Mm-hmm.
The backups, not so much. I would love to hear somebody that watched the defense, the Titans defense. I'd love to hear more of a report on how their day went. But overall, I think you got to feel pretty good about this first joint practice.
Vrabel on Caleb Farley says, at first glance, did not look like his best day.
Mm.
That's not what you want to hear about your possibly starting cornerback that goes there. But you know what? There's always tomorrow. Come on, have a good day tomorrow. But at first glance, can mean a lot of things. And, maybe you didn't see all of Caleb Farley, what that happened over there. But let's get back to Tannehill. I thought he looked good today, delivered the ball, looked sharp, and everything that went on, and the backups not so much. But I've seen that before. I mean, for these joint practices before where the starting quarterback looks decent and the backups don't look that well. And so we'll get another chance tomorrow to do it. And, of course, the next week, when the Cardinals come to town. Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, reporting that Julio Jones will not play in the preseason game Saturday night at Nissan Stadium against the Titans.
Vrabel says Tannehill and the first team offense was, quote, encouraging. which is definitely good to hear. So, and Julio not playing, not a surprise. I mean, it, you know, I think it was big just to see him on the practice field.
I totally agree. And there's some Twitter activity talking to some of the Titans DBs about going to Julio, and it was all professional, and they talked after practice, caught up with everything. So it's just a big friendly meetup over here. It's like a mixer after work. Everybody's just kind of putting the work beside them, and now they just kind of shake hands and move on with your day.
Jill Jelnick, Fox 17, putting this out. Vrabel says, team got off to a good start defensively and made some good plays on the football, says had a good string of third downs. And that has been a big point of emphasis since Mike Vrabel became the head coach, is trying to get off the field on third down. Obviously, you have to make plays on first and second down to be able to do that, but I think Mike Vrabel has definitely made it an emphasis of being a much more efficient team on third down on defense.
Yeah, it has. After last year, and again, you know, so much you could take away from what happened today, but encouraging, you know, the offense really good. And we didn't see the whole practice out here today, obviously, but people are going to be asking about Tannehill. No Derrick Henry out here today as well. And we just had Racy McMath on, a really nice catch that he had in practice. So overall, I think Titans look pretty good today. Not going to crown and win the AFC South right now, but I think overall it was not a bad practice for this football team. And then they'll do it again tomorrow for resting on Friday and then playing on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. When you do, you know, a lot of times you do two practices, back-to-back days with another team. And we've seen so many times that, okay, one team's really good on day one and then the other team bounces back and is better on day two. You want to just put consistency together. And I think that's what Mike Vrabel's preaching to his team. That's what he's preaching to all of us when he addresses the media, that you have to have consistent days.
No doubt. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, now you're trying to – you're getting inching closer and closer to September the 11th for that first game. So you want to see kind of things kind of mesh and come together. I'm sure all 32 coaches want to see that right now, what goes on. So he'll tell you, Bradley the first to tell you, there's 31 other coaches. We got a long way to go and still things to do and put this piece in and that piece in.
Let's catch a couple minutes of Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
So good to see that carry over from, you know, what we've seen against our team against Tampa today.
Not only with Racy, but also with Kyle Phillips, how much do you like seeing what they do on the practice field translate well against another team when you go against them?
Well, that's what you want to see, right? You want to see it, you know, carry over, whether it's practice against us, practice against Tampa, or in carry over to the game. You want to see that consistency on a day-to-day basis. And if a guy's showing he wins consistently against our guys and a guy showing he wins consistently against Tampa's guys, then most likely he's going to have a good chance of winning against other teams as well. So the more we can do that, you know, the better we're going to feel about winning those matchups.
Talked about his unwillingness to throw it some during the Baltimore game. He said today, you know, seeing a different two-minute defense made him hesitate. You have many conversations with him about letting it rip?
Yeah, we were constantly talking. You know, he's asking me questions, and I'm trying to help him out as best I can, just asking what I see and kind of walking him through that and what we're trying to accomplish. So there's been a lot of good conversations with him throughout this training camp, you know, even today included. So definitely just want to keep having those.
Can you relate at all to that specific one, the hesitancy?
Well, I know, you know, early in your career, things are moving fast, right? First time, you know, going against, I guess he played in the game, but going against another team in practice and maybe something we haven't, you know, spent a lot of time preparing for on tape, you know, like a game week, right? You kind of go in with an idea of, all right, this team likes these coverages in 2 minute. They like this on third down. So, you know, coming out to a practice is a tough situation because you don't put quite as much time in the preparation. So got to be able to make quick decisions and see what's going on. And for a young player, that's tough. But obviously he's made a lot of strides this camp and, you know, got to keep the foot on the gas with him.
Threw back across the field. How hard is that, and how does something like that develop given how maybe off script it was?
Yeah, Robert obviously did a good job. There was a big void in there. I had quick pressure from the right, and you know, he's coming in kind of across my body a little bit. He did a good job of staying open there for me in the void and was able to hit him.
How refreshing is it for you? You're not doing preseason games for the most part, so you're able to go up against an opponent, maybe do some things different that you wanted to do, not going up against yourself.
Yeah, it's good work, right? Because, you know, you see the things that your team does, you know, pretty consistently, right? And then it comes the game within the game with the offense and defense on your own team. And to come out against a team we haven't, you know, been going against, and kind of test ourselves and see different looks, see guys make game time decisions against different defenses. It's really just good work for all of us. So, like I said, proud of our guys, the way we came out and competed, have some things we need to clean up, and look forward to doing that.
How important is this, Ryan, for getting that chemistry with a lot of new pass catchers for you? And maybe specifically there was a stretch with Austin. I think you had three straight passes to him that he cut. That a sign that things are kind of moving in the right direction there?
Yeah, no doubt. Austin's done a great job for us. You mentioned we have several guys that are either new to this team or kind of roles stepping up on this team. And it's been a fun camp for me, just building those relationships, building that chemistry, you know, having the conversations, you know, day-to-day basis on what I'm expecting and how they're seeing certain things. So that chemistry just continues to build and to grow. And Austin did some really good things in that 2 minute. You know, he's winning one-on-one matchups and making plays. So, you know, when a guy has shown to consistently do that, it builds a lot of confidence.
That's Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill addressing the media. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. He's been out here today. We'll talk to him. He'll give us his thoughts on practice. We're live at training camp, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.